You have entered trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com.
That chronic make me paranoid, baby.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
He's got a beautiful bitch.
Dad's? Oh, he got all of that one.
Yeah, we're in a tight spot.
Just one moment, please. All systems are functional.
Get posted around now is like strictly friends with like people that I know. Can't imagine that's real Bill Murray.
Because he
just happens to have a fascination with a very small clique of people in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Bill Murray that I was friends with had 36 friends in common.
Yeah.
And then he, like, literally it was like 8 o'clock this morning and I was like, somebody posted and I was like, I want to add Bill Murray as my friend. And then 2 minutes later it was just like, Bill Murray accepted your friend request.
Yeah.
So it was like, it has to be.
Because that's what he just sits there and waits.
Yeah. There's no way that's Bill Murray.
I'm fucking Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Friend requests should be piling in.
Hello, welcome to Trailer Trash.
Hi.
Hi, Garrett. Hi.
Hello, I'm Garrett Smith. Hi.
Hi, I'm Mike Bauer. Nice to meet you.
Nice to be here with you again.
Our guest today is Patrick Graves.
Yes.
Hi.
That was a good intro, right?
That was a good intro. What do we do here at Trailer Trash?
Trailer Trash is your tri-weekly podcast where we take upcoming movies and use them to get to know our guest. Our guest today on Wednesday, January 30th, 2013, is Patrick Graves. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Mitch. Oh, no, Mike. Sorry.
Oh, I hope that becomes a running thing on this show, that no one that's on it knows your name.
No. I go by Bauer.
I'm here with Mitch and Jared.
Yeah.
So, Patrick is a comedian in Philadelphia. Are you a film star?
What?
A film star?
Do you star in films? Sir, I'm asking you a question.
I would.
Okay.
I don't have any credits to my name right now. I would be open to that.
We were talking before, you said you were a film major in college?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like when my uncle used to take Polaroids of me in my underpants. I wanted to be a documentary director.
Yeah.
What kind of documentaries? Like, was there anything in school that you were like, I need to make sure that people know everything about this?
No, and that's probably why I didn't pursue it. You know what? That is an important question that no one asked me.
Oh, like, what would you actually like to make the subject of your documentary?
Yeah, like, what's the specific subject? Yeah. So it's like, go from being, I want to be a documentary filmmaker, and then it just kind of spiraled downward after that.
When I was writing this pilot for a show, I was like, I'm going to write for other people, and then the whole thing just ended up being about myself, and then I just wanted to film myself just doing things. And I was like, nobody's going to want to watch that.
Nope.
I'd watch it.
I don't even want to hear you talk about it.
I'd make other people watch it, because that's what I do with everything that I do. I make other people listen and watch everything that I do, because it makes me feel better about myself.
See, I would watch it, but I wouldn't want you to know, like, if it was like a voyeuristic kind of thing where you didn't know, so I'm seeing really what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not, like, you're not aware that the camera's there, so you're being yourself.
Oh, like what every MTV show tries to make out, like, their shows
right
today, where, like, don't pretend the camera's here.
Where they turn and they ask for a line.
Yeah.
So, we like to also start out by asking, like, where you got your start in comedy, how long you've been doing it, And then we'll go from
there. Don't give him too many questions. Yeah. You can ask one at a time.
So
where did you start?
I started in Philly when I was around, I would say 18. Because when I was like nine. Panhandling. Was part of Fagin's crew. I lived on Spruce and Kamak.
Okay.
I lived at the time with my girlfriend and my roommate, who was a homosexual. And what's funny
one more time.
He's a homosexual. When we went down to see the apartment, neighborhood was, I don't want to say normal, because then it's like, oh, he thinks gay people. No. There was just nothing out of the ordinary. And then,
so it was normal.
Yeah, it was normal. There's nothing queer about it, let's say. But then the day we moved in, and I kid you not, was the Pride Parade. And we pull up in a U-Haul, and there's rainbow flags everywhere. And I didn't care, but I was like, did you, the day we came down to see the apartment, tell everybody, like, stay inside and, like, hide everything? And then the day we move in, have a Pride Fest. So I did it, open mics very intermittently. It wasn't anything consistent. And then fast forward to when I was 26, I was living in Boston, and I was pursuing it more consistently up there. And then I went to rehab and got divorced and came back to Philly. And that's true.
I'm really glad you glossed over those details.
I always throw those in later on. Because I was at rehab and I was getting divorced.
All right, so let's back up. You said two things there that I want to talk about.
Right.
So you lived in Boston.
I did.
That's what I want to touch on. You did comedy in Boston.
I did comedy in Boston.
What was it? What's the difference, like, the scene wise between Philadelphia and Boston? Did you see anything different? Like, was it easier to do comedy in Boston than it is to do in Philly, or is it like vice versa?
I wouldn't say it's easier. It's different in the way. And I don't want to sound like I know so much about it because I was only there for 2 years, but I see more down here in Philly, which I really like. I see more of a connection between all the comics.
Yeah.
Whereas up in Boston, it was more like there was respect for each other, but everybody was just trying to make sure they got ahead.
That's what it seems like, because a lot of like the big comedians right now, a lot of them came out of Boston.
Yeah.
And like, Mark Maron was up in Boston for a little bit. Conan was in Boston. Louis, like, did some Boston runs. And like, it just seems like it's either you're like, that's, they all want to be like them. Like, I can see, like, they want to be like big time. And like, with Harvard up there, like, it's a big comedy school, which is surprising. Not a lot of people like understand that, like, with big improv groups, big comedy scene up there. And I would feel like it would be harder to get, like, known out that there. Like, I mean, it might seem like a smaller crew, like a group of people that might get along more. Unlike with Philly, there's like 80 comics that run around every night and everybody knows everybody's name.
Right. And I think I appreciate that and I like that. Like, up there, it was more of an acquaintance. Mm-hmm. Like, we knew each other, but at the end of the day, whatever you had to do to get ahead of that person.
Yeah. So did you do anything to get ahead out there? Like, do you have any regrets about things you did to comics in Boston that you want to just get off your chest?
Nothing that I did to them. My regrets would be more so that I was high. And so I didn't get to actually experience. And it's something cool now to do is, when I have a good set, that honestly, that feeling is better than when I was all coked out and. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I definitely have regrets with that because I was kind of I fell into the trap of that mentality of like, this is what all the greats did. Yeah. I mean, I was doing drugs before that, but in my mind it was like
that was like fueling it. It was justifying it,
fueling it, and no one was going to tell me anything else because it was like, well, all these, I mean, this is just what's done.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
like, you, Garrett, you, do you ever go on stage, like, high? Like, you said you did it one time, right?
He's talking about weed. I smoke weed.
And yeah.
We were at Tight Six, and I knew I wasn't going to be on the first half. So when the first half ended, I figured I would be up late in the second half because that's normally where I end up.
Right.
And so I like went out and I smoked a little one hitter. And then as I was walking back upstairs to come inside, the second comic was on stage. And as soon as I got to the top of the stairs, Elise was like, "Hey, you're up in two." And I was like, "Oh shit!" And I just you know, I definitely get paranoid when I smoke, but for the most part, like, I am doing things or whatever that, like, there's nothing to be paranoid about. I was, like, literally just, like, my heart was ready to explode out of my chest. I was like, oh, I have to be on stage in two comics, and I don't even know, I can't remember material now. It's all gone. It's all just gone. Like, I just went into, like, pure panic mode, and then as soon as I got on stage, it was like, it all just went away, and I was, you know, I was fine.
I've never done stand-up high, but I have done it in a hot air balloon. Does that count?
I mean, I guess the hostages.
they didn't find me very funny. All right, so you came back down to Philly after all everything that, like, happened up in Boston. You came back down. Did you find it, like, as you're saying, you find it, like, more fulfilling that you, like, have a good set and you're like, oh, okay, good, now I understand what I'm doing. Like, since you moved back, how has your, like, progression for, like, stand-up been going? Like, do you feel like you've accomplished more now coming back down here from Boston?
Or? I do, because, like, I'm lucid, so I learn from each of the experiences. I take something away each time. Whereas before, if I had a bad set, it was an excuse
to do more,
to just get obliterated, and B, I wasn't really focused and working. I was just in hindsight. There's times I think back, going back to what you said about regrets, where I feel it was more they were laughing at me as like a mess. I don't know,
right.
I mean, I'm not going to shit on myself and say I never had, like, good material, but I definitely now, when I feel something hit,
it feels so good.
It feels so good, and I remember it, and I can hold on to it.
There's also nothing that you can go back to and be like, oh, but I was, like, kind of obliterated, so maybe they were laughing at me being a mess, as opposed, like, now you can go up and be like, no, it was the material.
Yeah,
there's nothing else there. It was the material.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, I don't have a tick or like a gimpy arm, I mean, if they're laughing,
that would happen to you when you did coke, your arm went gimpy.
No, I'm saying, like, I don't have anything I can blame. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, it's my wandering eye. That's what they're laughing.
Yeah. You're just telling the punchline, and then your eye just goes to, like, the full side, and you're like, what are you laughing at?
Yeah, like, all, like Bell's Paul. Like, all of a sudden, my face punchline drew.
I was curious, did you find that, I'm sure your material was different just because that's how it is with the amount of years in between, but did you find that different kinds of material work in one place versus another? Like, in Boston, would certain material go over differently than it might in Philly or otherwise? Does that even make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And that's the thing. I really can't... I've gone through old notebooks and my own personal material... I read it and I'm like, that doesn't sound anything like you.
Okay, yeah.
That's not how you think about things and not how you present things. I mean, one of the things that, like, I've been going through now is, lately, is I've noticed that I've started just trying to write jokes to impress the other comics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna put it out. I mean, I've started to write stuff that isn't me.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That, like, I isn't the type of jokes I want to tell, but I've gotten stuck, like, well, if I tell this and then they think it's great, almost like I can sit at the cool table.
Yeah. I've actually been having that conversation with a lot of comics around Philly because I'm very new to it, and so I've been having this conversation, like, I don't know, I feel like I need to write new material all the time because I'm performing to literally the same crowd pretty much every night, and I'm doing it 4 or 5 nights a week, so it's like, it feels very quickly like, oh, that material is boring and old and not doing anything for me. Most comics have been like, stop considering the other, like, don't even consider the other comics. It's not worth doing. You need to actually, like, hone 5 minutes. It's not...
And that's a great point.
In 2 weeks, you're not going to hone 5 minutes. It might actually be a really solid 5 minutes, and you're not going to hone it in 2 weeks. It doesn't matter that everybody else is bored with it. You need to get good at it.
Right. And that's an awesome point, because I've sat there and I'm like, and I've had the thought, I'm like, what the hell? I've seen them do this 30 times. Like, do their set, but I'm like, and that's the thing, you got to take a step back and realize, like, we're not doing it for each other. Like, Mm-mm. the point of being a stand-up comedian or a comedian is to do it for an audience that isn't.
Yeah, that's like really fresh, generally speaking. You know what I mean?
Like, you don't go to the doctor and do like surgery in front of the doctor. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and it's also like
that was a shitty reference. Fuck.
It's also like there's very few comedians that are at a status where like the audience that's going to sit down and watch them even really knows them to begin with. Like
right.
Most of your comedy career is going to be spent in front of audiences that don't know who you are.
Exactly.
So it's like it's I'm not going to say okay to do the same material all the time because it's not what I'm trying to say, but it's like okay to do material until like you have it until it's like ready
solid.
And there and it's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel the same way, and like there's been stuff where I'm like it's gone well, and it's almost like. Because it went well, I'm like, all right, well, I gotta file that away.
That's done. Yep.
Now I gotta,
yeah,
reach for the and it.
See, that's why I find it all weird with my stuff that I've been trying like recently is I don't try to. My goal is not to get the crowd to laugh. Is my goal is to get the crowd to be as uncomfortable as I can make them and wrap them around my fingers so that when I land my punchline for the joke. It just goes over so well because it's so unexpected. And I'm not trying to impress anybody else. I'm not even trying to impress myself. Is I'm trying to get the crowd so low that when I hit that like the line, and I did this at the R Bar, and it's like the only place that's ever gone over like well enough that I can just say that to reference it, is that when a joke doesn't land for me, is I'm not afraid to yell at the audience and tell them, I don't understand why you don't think this is funny because this is the funniest thing that I've ever written. Like, to me is to like to belittle the crowd because they... If they understand what's going on with me is how dark I'm getting and stuff like that, then they'll understand with, like, oh, well, he's not actually that dark. He's just saying these things just try to get a rise out of people, and then it's funnier. Because, like, people can go out there and, like, you guys do, like, the long-form jokes. Like, there's not, like, a lot of one-liner comics are trying just to joke after joke after joke after joke. And mine is to take awkward pauses and, like, scratch my eye. And let it sink in, and if it doesn't sink in, then I say, you guys are fucking stupid, because that's the best thing I've ever written. But then I could really care less. Like, I'm not out to be a stand-up comic. Like, I don't want to be, like, a full-on stand-up comic. I want to entertain people. But, like, I'm not at that point where, like, I like doing the podcasts more. I feel like I get better, like, I'm better off, like, in conversation than I am being up on stage, because I don't like being judged, and I don't want to judge other people, so I just support everybody. And, so, like, it's, I think I find it differently, like, how, like, you guys will do, will go up there, and, like, how you say, Patrick, like, that you're trying to impress, like, you were trying to impress other comics at that time. Like, well, out of everything that goes for trying to impress anybody, what are you getting out of that, like, for yourself? Like, is there anything, like,
It's all narcissistic ego. I mean, that's one of the characteristics, I think, is... the same between pretty much all comics is at the end of the day, there is something inside us that needs that approval. And it sucks. I mean, on one hand, it sucks. On one hand, it helps us. It pushes us to do better.
Mm-hmm.
But when that's all you're focused on, it really, it's taking away from your own talent. I mean, And that's something I'm more of a long form, like you said, joke teller. And I started to write, like, wordplay jokes and pun jokes, and that's not, I enjoy that. I think it's fun. I have nothing against it, but that's not my style.
Right.
It's not coming from the place inside of me that I think it could ever be good. And that's, that was humbling. I did. And also the room. You know, I mean, I love Tight Six's room. But I've never... I mean, I think I did well there once, but I've never done well there at all. And that's not for any other reason than it's just the fact
that it didn't
happen. And I don't blame myself. I don't blame the audience. I don't blame the room. It's just... there's something in that room. And... that doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've realized that too with like trying to get like the rise out of the audience. I did my same exact set word for word at back to back nights, and one, it One, I had a comic just like balling, and then the other time, like, I did it at Liberty's. I told the same exact set, and I made everybody uncomfortable. Even the guy running the open mic was uncomfortable with the way I was telling my jokes. And I wasn't doing anything different. It was just the same thing. It's the room kind of thing. It's, if you can go into a room and you can feel the vibe if you're going to go up. I try to push myself behind another comedian who is a Ruben, mm-hmm. Ruben Kraber. Mm-hmm. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
As he kind of tells the same kind of jokes that I do. His aren't as dark as mine, but I try to go after him to judge the room, like to see like if because if his jokes land, then I know that they're okay with what's to come because they're already set for that level. And it's because he's been doing it longer. He's only been in the scene for about 4 months now, like not really that long, but he's on the same page. And I kind of like started doing that, like when we did the Liberties, as he went up and he like didn't, like it wasn't that great of a set for him. And I was like, oh no, I know what I'm in for already. And I just kind of just bit the bullet and I went up there. And then I was like, all right, I'm done. Like that's what freaks me out about comedy is that you're relying on other people. Like, comedy is the hardest form of entertainment to do because you're making other people laugh. You're trying to make other people laugh, and I don't... I just can't stand it because I laugh at everything. Like, that's why I wanted to, like, with you, Garrett, is since you started doing comedy, do you feel more narcissistic about yourself than you did before you started doing comedy?
No, I think I've been pretty narcissistic to begin with. No, I don't feel more narcissistic. I feel like it was just something that I probably should have been doing a long time ago is actually more what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's fulfilling in a way where I'm like, I don't know why I wasn't doing this before, because it like just sort of lined up with all these different like
right.
thought processes I was already having and emotions I was already having. And then certain thought processes and emotions were sort of like out of control until I started doing comedy, and it sort of like brought a balance to a lot of that.
I mean, even when I have a bad set, getting up on stage and holding the microphone in my hand, there's something about that just, it's like coming home almost. Not sound douchey, but it's like, that feels more right than any other school or job or anything else mm-hmm. I've done in my life.
It's like a personal therapy for yourself. It's like, you're up there, you're the center of attention right now. That's where I can see like the kind of the narcissism coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's watching me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is me. If you're not watching me in the back, like, kind of thing, when people are talking, you can kind of feel that with some comics. Like, they start getting angry. Like, why aren't you paying attention to me? I'm up here. And then they get louder. Mm-hmm. And that's when I feel... Like, I can see that with comics. Like, I get up there and I look down the floor. I could really care less, like, what's going on. Is because I feel like everybody already knows who I am and I'm the best person in the entire world. As you should know, Garrett, I am probably the most narcissistic person in the entire world. So I don't need to do that to, like, feel, like, comfortable. I just do it just because my friends do it, and I just wanted to get up there and just try to make them laugh, like the kind of thing like
mm-hmm.
oh, this typical Bauer doing his typical thing, he's not really doing much of anything else, but he kind of just fits in with all the group, so we kind of just deal with him. Patrick, you're gonna be here with us all week. We're gonna take a quick break.
Sounds.
Get into this movie.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about more comedy on the Friday show. But
the movie for Wednesday, January 30th is gonna be Olympus Has Fallen, starring Gerard Butler, Angela Bassett, Robert Forster, Aaron Eckhart, and Morgan Freeman, and directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Fuqua.
Fuqua. Actually, I think that's how you pronounce
it. I like how they put Training Day.
Yeah.
Because everybody was like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it was Training Day, remember?
Yeah, he did Training Day.
The movie where they gave Denzel an Oscar because they thought they had to, not because he really deserved an Oscar for that movie.
All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to watch the trailer. You guys should watch the trailer, too. And when we come back, we'll be talking about Gerard Butler.
Great.
Hey, everybody. This is Mike. Before you listen to this wonderful episode, go over to folkufilly.com. They are our host site for this wonderful podcast you're about to listen to. If you go over there and you click on the donate button and help donate to get us a new studio that we're trying to build just to bring you better acts, more podcasts, more entertainment, my buddy Garrett has a few things to say about it. Garrett?
Donate your money so that we can produce better sounding stuff.
All right, and now this. And we're back. God bless America.
Jesus
and
Christ.
God bless a knockoff Die Hard movie.
I was literally going to say it's Die Hard in the White House. Yeah. That was like the first thing that came to my mind.
Is Gerard Butler Olympus?
I don't know.
Who's Olympus?
I assume Olympus is like the White House.
The White House, yeah.
that the like that the code Olympus has fallen means the White House has been like taken, you know.
I'm speechless about this fucking movie.
I didn't know. I couldn't tell if the terrorists were Asian or just that one Asian guy who always had a vest on. Or then there was another scene where they look like Middle Eastern terrorists.
Yeah, I was confused by everything. As soon as it started, I was like, all right, this seems like a normal CIA movie. And then a plane flies over the White House and then starts opening fire.
With Tommy guns.
Yeah, I honestly could not believe that, like, there was I don't think I've ever had this thought or ever even spoken about this for any reason. It really feels like too soon after 9/11 to have a movie where there's planes flying over the White House, firing at it, and us shooting them out of the sky.
Yeah, not near the White House. Directly on top.
Yeah.
And I love in these, like, movies, all this shit's going down around the White House. And, like, America isn't just losing their mind over it.
Yeah.
Like, we find out the footlong is, like, 11 and a half inches, and we lose our shit. Fucking, the helicopters and planes are literally entering the White House.
Yeah, and all we saw was a clip of, like, a Spanish family watching it on the news.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, they got it.
They have this. Gerard Butler's on the fucking scene.
Yeah. And it's always somebody who it was an ex something or like dismissed for some reason. Yep.
Or off duty cop. Oh. Like fucking Die Hard.
He marches to the beat of a different drum.
Yeah.
You're the only hope I've got.
It literally looked like Die Hard in the White House. It was like very similar like plot structure.
Do you feel
character.
Sequel already? Olympus has fallen too.
Who's the president? Was it Morgan Freeman or
So I wanted to talk about this too. Can you imagine this board meeting where they're just like, really, we're going to cast Morgan Freeman as the president again?
Right.
No. We didn't cast him as the president. He's the Speaker of the House. He becomes president by default. It's a totally different thing.
Yeah, but where's the vice president? First off, they don't talk about a vice president.
Could have died in the car accident we saw in the beginning. Yeah. I don't know.
And Aaron Eckhart, whatever he was.
He was the president.
Oh, he's the president. Yeah. He's like sitting in like a hotel room having a meeting. And literally somebody just walks in and is like, yo, shit is going down. He's like, let's go.
Yeah.
We're out.
Like, there's no, like, Secret Service or anybody. Like, the bellhop was just like, shit's happening.
Yeah, then they take him to the room that he's supposed to go to, and that's already taken over.
Yeah.
So how do they get past all the Secret Service? And if they got past them, then wouldn't there be a trail of dead before they got to the place? Like, don't they have that shit on control if the White House gets taken over? Like, this doesn't make any sense. It's just like complete chaos. But also, did you notice that the president at first is white and then he turns black? And the director is from Training Day.
What?
It's a black director. Morgan Freeman becomes president.
Yeah.
Black president. There was a white president. The white president gets held hostage. The black president brings it down. He's the one that's like, we're going to get this shit done.
I guess so.
Obama.
I just like Camp David was like some shitty log cabin that had a sign in front like, salute your shorts, like Camp David.
That whole thing blew my mind, dude. I kind of couldn't believe it. I was like, what the...
There was a lot going on.
Like, we're really making a movie about this?
Did you see Angela Bassett in the trailer at all?
No.
I didn't see her.
Yeah, I saw her.
Was she the...
She had the, African-American Bon Jovi haircut. Gerard Butler...
Okay. She's like, I know your
...was
name.
Behind the desk... Like, she's like,
gotta
no
go.
More of this.
Yeah.
You sit behind that desk.
See, the problem is I love Aaron Eckhart.
I like him too.
But also what I was saying as we were watching the trailer is, does he lose his love interest in every movie that he's in? Because, like, you look back to Dark Knight and, like, he loses his love interest and then Batman comes and saves him. And, like, and then this one, right in the beginning, his...
Judd, man, what a minor payday. They're like, yeah, you're dead in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, this sets up the whole movie because what would that car accident have to do with setting up anything? Because that's the reason why Gerard Butler got fired from being, like, on the Secret Service is because the president got in a car wreck during a bad storm that wasn't any of their fault.
No, but there was only, if you notice, there was only one car.
Yeah.
Like, no other cars traveling with...
But then the car accident happens, and then there's four people trying to pull the car out.
Yeah, I think they actually showed us like a trail of cars that it was actually like a what do they call that, like a motorcade or whatever.
We'll make sure his goes
but
first.
But that's the thing that is really weird. I was thinking that the whole time is like, why is the president in the first car?
Yeah.
Why is that the only car that, like, you would think in a situation like that where there's a line of them and they look very close together.
Right, yeah.
If one goes down, like, at least another one is getting knocked around, too. It's very bizarre that only that. It's going to play into the plot, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely going to play into the plot.
Oh, yeah.
Plot play.
I mean, clearly that
Aaron Eckhart, I guarantee, watch this. He planned it.
He orchestrated the whole
he
thing?
He orchestrated the ice, the tree branch.
Government controls the weather now.
Yeah,
because when they were in college, Gerard Butler fucked his girlfriend. So then, in the ultimate revenge plan, he becomes president, creates weather.
All right, here. I'm gonna throw you into a bit. This is perfect. This is what I like to do. All right, you're the president of the United States. Gerard Butler is your main bodyguard. Your main secret, like. Thing. You find out that he's sleeping with the first lady. You kind of dig it and want to get involved, but he won't let you. So you're angry at him for not letting you join in with your wife. How's that conversation go with Gerard Butler? How do you talk to this man?
As the president.
To try to have a three-way, but he's not going for it.
But he's like a trained assassin.
Yeah, but you're talking down to him.
And I have to talk to him. I can't, like, pull a prank.
No, you have to talk to him. You have to square out. You have him in the office. Garrett will be Gerard Butler, so you can talk to him if it makes it easier. I like throwing Garrett into bits, too.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of Gerard Butler's voice. He has that terrible American
accent.
You can
just accent. Do the Cosby voice.
He sounds like he's struggling through an accent all the time.
I have a certain set of skills. Like, he's a Liam
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm trying, like...
All right, so you find out that Gerard Butler is fucking your girlfriend. You want to get
I'm the president, and my girlfriend's getting fucked by Gerard Butler, and I'm trying to get in on it.
Yeah.
And he's not, and he's an assassin.
And he's just not having any of it.
I like the idea that in this scenario, Gerard Butler's like, no, you can't fuck your wife. I'm going to fuck your wife.
Yeah. So Gerard Butler's talking down to you, and you're trying to get around it.
And I'm like,
so good.
Come on. What... Come on,
Garrett.
Come on, I'm the president. I'm crushing pussy in D.C. Come on.
That's why she's with me.
Just let me like jerk off within like a foot. Like
you're not even allowed to be in the room. You have to go to the Lincoln bedroom.
Can I like? Can I smell your underpants?
You can smell my underpants afterwards, not your wife's.
Could you wear your underpants while you're having intercourse with her?
Yes, I could. For you, I could. You're the president. I could do that. That sounds like a direct command.
Like just pull it out of the pee hole. Okay. Can you give me a transcript of how everything played out?
Like, well, everything in the White House is being recorded at all times, so you should be able to find... You're the president. I think you have access to this footage. In fact, there's quite a library of your wife and I already in existence.
Oh.
Oh.
Could you read it to me? Like, on a phone?
You want me to give you my cell phone number so you can call me at any time and read you a transcript of me having sex with you? I'm going to be honest, there's not a lot of talking.
Oh. This is quite the pickle we have here.
You'll hear me say slut a bunch of times, but there's not much talking otherwise.
Yeah, keep going. What else do we have?
End scene. That's good stuff.
That's a pretty good Gerard Butler impression. Yeah, I must have myself on that.
Don't worry.
That was good.
Wait till the Tyler Perry impressions.
Yeah. I'm you're not doing even
it.
Touching that.
You're doing it. So, Garrett, how would you rate this? We're going to go into ratings because I'm done with this.
Negative joints. I would like to somehow, like...
Unsmoke
extract
joints?
Extract the THC that is, like, inert in my body right now from it before I go see this. This movie is going to make me panic just as it is. There's no, I actually hate movies like this where it's like attacks on our own soil. That even Red Dawn like makes me very uncomfortable.
Nah,
like,
you're so patriotic.
I'm not patriotic. I just am selfish shithead.
You know that the hillbillies are gonna see this movie and be like, "Nah, this shit can happen."
Yeah, yeah,
they're coming.
Well, that's the thing. How did the? I'm curious to see how this big fucking airplane just comes out of nowhere into the airspace above the most significant location on American soil.
Right, and all the guys appropriately dressed as SWAT team members on the roof.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even look in shape. Like, when an entire country has to base its security on one man in a bulletproof vest... Like, that's when you just say, game over. Right. Like, give that Asian dude whatever he wants.
I'm gonna throw you in one more scene before we wrap it up and get your rating. Is that now you're the president of the United States, you've been captured, and you have to give a speech to the world to keep them calm after what just happened in that trailer. So you're giving the State of the Union, like...
I'm talking to America, or the world.
Yeah, to the world, about what's happening in America right now. And do your best Aaron Eckhart impression.
I don't even know what he sounds like.
I'm
pretty sure he sounds normal.
You know, ladies and gentlemen of the world, things have gotten a little out of hand. I'm not gonna lie. There's a mess, but we have one person that is going to take care of everything. Just so you folks know, he has been crushing my wife's pussy. But I'm willing to just take a step back so that he can save Olympus. We have changed the name of the White House to Olympus. And it will not fall. Amen.
All right, Patrick, so you've listened to this. Do you know how the rating system works, where you create your own rating?
Joints. Oh, so you create your own.
Yeah,
whatever it is. Sidney Gantt does Cake Breaks, which is still by far our favorite one.
Yeah.
And then who else was it? Chip had his own thing going. I don't know what his was. Dan's was...
A lot of people just make them up as they go.
Yeah. Just make them up as they go. How many of whatever?
I would give that zilch.
Zilch.
Just
zilch. Zilch out of what? Is there a...
Out of life.
Zilch out of life. Because of the zilch.
I'm not an... I like action movies, but like I'm not... That's not what I go to first.
Rom-coms?
But I'd rather have... Yeah.
This is a rom-com.
Y'all understand the woods and a car. Like, I don't... Like, I get it. I like Die Hard. But when shit gets too... I like that element of like... You know what? That could... I mean... It could happen.
Yeah.
That... There's too many things. Yeah. Like I said when we were watching it, like the bullets look like the G.I. Joe cartoon where it's like, choo, choo, like.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And then just basing everything on one guy.
Yeah. I'm going to not see it at all. Not pirate it. This will not be a movie I will own at any point.
Out of what?
Well, I do see it in the theaters, Netflix, or pirate it normally.
No, I meant, is that your...
That's my
rating out of what?
I do like the weird thing. Like, either I say pirate it, watch it at home, Netflix, because if you own Netflix. Oh, okay. So, like, pirates normally, like, as soon as the movie leaks online, watch the screen or whatever is on it, or go see it in theaters. I'm going to sit this one out. Like, this will not be a movie that will be, for me, knowledgeable knowing that I sat through to watch it. With that being said,
did they say I probably will come out?
It comes out on...
It's probably like July 4th.
It says March 22nd.
July 4th. Oh, it comes out on
March
September 11th.
March 22nd.
September 11th.
That means that this movie's probably not very good.
Yeah.
January to April is where studios just dump shit that's not that great.
Oh, good, because looking at all the other titles for the movies for the upcoming episodes, they're all in March. So, I'm doing that. Patrick, how can people find you online?
Pat, that's the thing. I was telling these gentlemen... that my real name, and I'll prove it if you want me to, my real name is Lawrence Frederick Graves IV. But I've gone by Patrick since birth. So my Twitter handle is Patrick Graves IV. Not because I notice I make a lot of HIV jokes. And I was like, no, it's for the fourth.
Were you positive about that?
I'm
ooh, yeah. Fire crotch.
If HIV and AIDS is something that you laugh about on this podcast, then I am going to have to join in. No, it's Patrick Graves, IV on Twitter, and then just Patrick Graves on Facebook. And
do you have any upcoming shows? Thursday's open mics? Anything coming up? This will drop today.
Well, I'm going to be on Trail Trash Podcast.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Friday. Twice. Friday.
And then again.
And then again.
With Mitch and Jared.
Mitch and Jared. Garrett.
Oh, I'm on Twitter at Philadelphia with an F.
Any shows? You'll be at open mics?
I'll be at open mics.
All right.
Always at open mics.
Yeah.
I'm at Mike Bauer. I just have 402 followers. No big deal. Just follow me. It's cool. You can follow us at Trailer Trash Pod, minus the E, no E.
How did you get 402?
My blog, bro.
I got like 86, and then by the end of the day, it was down to 82.
I fluctuate between the level of 400. The darkness just started following me, so if that gives you any clue, you should follow this guy. Trailer Trash Podcast, or Trailer Trash Pod, no E, on Twitter. And then www.trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com. I was trying to switch over to trailertrashpodcast.com, but I can't figure out which site's the best way to do it. Because
GoDaddy has always worked for me just fine.
All right, so I'll let you set that up. You can pay for that.
Great.
We're trying to raise money for the studio, so if you want to donate money to the studio, let us know. We're going to try to set up a link.
We'll send you dick pics.
Send dick pics. We'll put them up online.
Donations.
We had somebody wrote us a thing.
Huh?
What did he say, the tweet I sent you?
Oh, I don't remember, dude.
He's saying that I'm really liking Trailer Trash Podcast. They're kind of like Siskel and Ebert, but two live humans with working jaws.
Yeah, that's what
oh!
I can't tell. Garrett said that it's not a good thing.
No, I said it's... You did not understand what I said to you at all.
No.
I said it's funny because when we started this podcast, one of the things we used to do was do a metaphor at the beginning of every podcast. We would say, Trailer Trash Podcast is like blah, 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 which is exactly what that guy did. He said, I really like this podcast. It's like Siskel and Ebert if it were two live humans with working jokes.
I had no idea what
it was. It's always good when the audience knows the format.
Yeah. I was trying to say that I think it's really hilarious, not just because it's a funny joke, but because it's layered in there that it's also one of the metaphors.
It's funny because Siskel's dead.
All right, so come back on Friday. We're going to be doing
Ebert wishes he was.
Yeah.
We're doing a Tyler Perry movie.
Ebert looks like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, rest in peace, jaw. All right, so we'll be back Friday with a new episode with Patrick Graves. He's going to be sleeping over, and we'll see you then. All right, bye.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Trailer Trash Podcast, produced by Mike Bauer and Garrett Smith. Special thanks to FokuPhilly.com.
Hey, yo, man, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming out. Hey, yo, Father Garrity, rest in peace, man. Yo, Mitch, give that wife the dick all day.